WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump signed the Laken-Riley Act into law today. It is the first bill signing for his second term and named after the 22-year-old Georgia nursing student killed by an undocumented migrant. The law requires ICE agents to detain undocumented migrants accused of theft and violent crimes.
We have 30,000 beds in Guantanamo to detain the worst criminal illegal aliens threatening the American people. Some of them are so bad we don't even trust the countries to hold them because we don't want them coming back, so we're going to send them out to Guantanamo.
The president says Congress will also need to approve additional border funding for that law. The White House Office of Management and Budget is rescinding the sweeping directive by President Trump to pause federal funding, that according to an OMB memo obtained by ABC News. Eight hostages are expected to be released tomorrow, including three Israelis held by Hamas for 482 days. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson wants to cut Democrats out of the confirmation process for President Donald Trump's cabinet picks. Speaking on WISN's Upfront Sunday, the Wisconsin Republican said Democrats are dragging their heels and that Republican leadership should move to using recess appointments. It took around 100 days for President Obama's and President Trump's first cabinets to be appointed and 50 days for President Biden. Johnson also says he generally approves of the presidential pardons issued to those convicted in the January 6th attack on the Capitol, but that he wouldn't have pardoned those convicted of violent actions. He also voiced his approval of President Trump's increased action on immigration arrest, as well as the executive order to undo birthright citizenship. That matter is now in the courts after a federal judge blocked it last week. Proposed legislation would return state employees to the office. Representative Amanda Nedweski has introduced legislation along with State Senator Corey Tomczyk to return state employees to in-person work. Nedweski chairs the new Assembly Committee on Government Oversight, Accountability, and Transparency. The Pleasant Prairie Republican says nearly 5 years after the COVID pandemic, a significant number of state employees continue to work remotely while productivity diminishes and office buildings sit mostly empty. She cites two 2023 Legislative Audit Bureau reports highlighting use of telework and space management in state agencies and the UW system. The proposal requires that all state employees return to work in their physical offices by July 1st. Those whose job duties were already being performed off-site prior to March 2020 are exempt. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Bucks lose again in Portland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost to the Trailblazers, 125-117. Giannis Antetokounmpo asked, how has Portland beat them three out of four tries since they traded Damian Lillard away to Milwaukee?
Good team. Play fast. Have a lot of people that can make shots over the dribble. You know, when you give a team confidence, they beat you.
The Bucks road trip continues when they face the Spurs in San Antonio tomorrow night. College basketball, number 9th-ranked Marquette, with a win in Indianapolis, beating Butler 78-69. Cam Jones got into foul trouble, so Stevie Mitchell stepped up, scoring a career-high 22 points. Number 17th-ranked Wisconsin and Maryland tonight, head coach Greg Gard, on why he thinks the Badgers have improved on offense.
You know, an unselfish group that doesn't care who gets the credit. And it's a really talented team that have a lot of weapons that can shoot it. And it's pretty much everybody we put on the floor is a legit threat from three.
That's Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Just a little cooler today with a mix of sun and clouds and breezy winds still. As high temperatures reach 40 degrees, tonight they'll slide to the mid-20s. And for tomorrow, likely some record-breaking highs because we're going to soar to the mid-50s. We'll be soaking up the sunshine and feeling like spring. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. Currently, it's 45.
The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Angela Lang from Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities joins me to talk about not good test scores coming out of the city of Milwaukee. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Wednesday, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking all things RFK Jr. confirmation hearings. And of course, there's day two tomorrow. Ugh. I don't know how much more of his BS I can take. It's pretty terrible. I myself have had an afternoon of misspeaks, and I want to thank my friend Lou Ann and Wanderoos, as well as Eric in Wauwatosa. Who else? A couple of other people let me know. I keep saying that Caroline Kennedy was RFK's sister. She's not. They're cousins. And I also then, of course, misspoke and said RFK was a president's son. He was a presidential candidate's son, a U.S. attorney general's son, and the nephew of course, JFK. Huh. Some days, just the mouth and the brain don't work so good together. I appreciate everybody letting me know. Also, want to give a little bit of love. Matt from Middleton texting in this. Trump's second term is the end of American leadership and favor in the world. Europe and Latin America are talking to China now. Were the eggs, are they worth decades of decline and isolation? I don't think so, Matt. And I think the American public is going to get smart real quick about what Donald Trump actually stands for. You know, we look at RFK's nomination, of course, within the context of Trump's withdrawal from the World Health Organization, pulling back from the climate accords, you know, his denigration of NATO on a near daily basis, the fact that he derides the United Nations. In all of these sectors, right, whether you're talking about pure diplomacy, or you're talking about diplomacy to achieve better world and public health outcomes, to stop the next COVID outbreak or make it less lethal and deadly, whether we're talking about trying to keep foreign adversaries from stealing our nation's company's secrets, all of this requires power and influence and the ability to apply leverage on a global scale, both amongst allies for their cooperation and support, both militarily, financially, and as a policy matter, but also with our adversaries. And the more the U.S. retreats into this old saw of isolationism, the more the greater a vacuum is created in all of those sectors, in the world diplomatic order itself. And as nature abhors a vacuum, that vacuum will be filled by some of our most powerful adversaries that themselves command great amount of natural resources and or political influence, geopolitical dominance in certain of the world's areas that are seeing very consistent unrest, as well as vast amounts of natural resources and economic might and power. Who might that be? Well, in no particular order, China, Russia, Iran, North Korea. Yes, North Korea is deprived of natural resources, but it has a nuclear arsenal, right? Like, this doesn't work for American interests, either in the medium or long term. Might feel good short term, but it will not work. And abandoning our role as an international and global leader, whether it comes to science and technology, addressing climate change, diplomacy, the project of peace and human dignity in the world, all of this, or of course, public health and the World Health Organization, all of this makes us more vulnerable, not stronger, despite what the pseudo strongman may tell you. Thanks so much for that comment, Matt from Middleton. I really appreciate it. Steve from Milwaukee chiming in. Russia's already eyeing Alaska. Yeah, well, if Trump can, you know, take Greenland and rename the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America, why wouldn't Russia start eyeing additional territories, maybe even territories that include, you know, some of Alaska? Of course, I would expect that to be met with military might. But again, if Donald Trump has no respect for sovereign borders and boundaries, why should any other country? Let's get back to RFK. I wanted to share a bit of Elizabeth Warren's Q&A. This still sits in what I'm going to call pillar one of my set of objections to RFK. She absolutely housed him today on conflicts of interest. And frankly, the fact that RFK is getting richer off of his vaccine mumbo jumbo. Let's take a listen to cut 17.
But you and I both know there's another way to make money. So, Mr. Kennedy, will you also agree that you won't take any compensation from any lawsuits against drug companies while you are secretary and for 4 years afterwards?
Well, I'll certainly commit to that while I'm secretary. But I do want to clarify something because you're making me sound like a shill. I put together that case. I did the Science Day presentation to the judge on that case to get it into court,
Mr.
the Daubert hearing.
Mr. Kennedy, it's just a really simple question. You've taken in $2.5 million. I want to know if you will commit right now that not only will you not go to work for drug companies, you won't go to work suing the drug companies and taking your rake out of that while you're a secretary and for 4 years after. It's just...
I'll commit to not taking any fees from drug companies while I'm secretary.
No, I'm asking about fees from suing drug companies. Will you agree not to do that?
You're asking me to not sue drug companies.
No, you can sue drug companies as much as you want.
I'm not going to agree to not sue drug companies or anybody.
What a jerk. Of course, that's not what she's saying. She's just saying, don't get rich off of it. Next cut, more of Elizabeth Warren putting RFK to the test.
Kennedy can kill off access to vaccines and make millions of dollars while he does it. Kids might die, but Robert Kennedy can keep cashing in.
Senator, I support vaccines. I support the childhood schedule. I will do that. The only thing I want is good science, and that's it.
Oh. How about then say you won't make money off what you do as Secretary of HHS?
Ah, yes. Let's explore that statement that I support vaccines and the childhood schedule, because this is pillar two. He's a liar and a con man and a grifter that's out for money and, of course, the attention and power. This is what he said when he was interviewed with John Stossel just a couple years ago. It's pretty basic. It's just a question, which he answers with absolute clarity. Let's take a listen, cut 21.
And you still say that autism is caused by vaccines?
Yeah, autism is caused by vaccines.
Yeah. So, were you lying then, sir, or are you lying now before Congress? Someone who says a blanket statement like autism is caused by vaccines has no business running the Department of Health and Human Services. And if it wasn't clear enough that this is all a big grift, Take a listen to this. Vaccines, yeah, don't do that for your kids, but of course, he did for his own.
Next if up. Your kids were young now, would you give them the measles, the mumps vaccine?
No.
Yeah, but they're not. And so that's not a real choice. He just gets to, you know, trot out more of his baloney. The guy doesn't tell the truth. He doesn't tell the truth about nearly anything, including the fact that he personally went to Samoa after an accident relating to the measles vaccine. It was an accident caused by human error. They knew exactly what happened, and two kids died as a result of a human error in putting together the vaccine compound. That happened in 2018. He then went to Samoa, invited there by a Samoan anti-vax activist. And he sat in meetings with anti-vax activists, one of whom said that those meetings were, quote, profoundly monumental for the anti-vaccine movement. He met with the prime minister of Samoa, and they discussed vaccines, which he confirmed. And after a measles outbreak occurred 4 months after his visit there, where 83 people died, many of whom were children and infants unvaccinated, he disclaimed any responsibility, moral or otherwise. But not only that, when that measles outbreak occurred, he sent a letter to the prime minister of Samoa, and in that letter claimed that the outbreak was caused by the measles vaccine itself. But let's take a listen to the garbage he was spewing today on Capitol Hill about his involvement in that Samoan tragedy in 2019.
I went there nothing to do with vaccines. I went there to introduce a medical informatics system. I would digitalize records in Samoa and make health delivery much more efficient. I never gave any public statement about vaccines. You cannot find a single Samoan who will say, I didn't get a vaccine because of Bobby Kennedy. I went in June of 2019. The measles outbreak started in August. Oh, clearly I had nothing to do with the measles.
Yeah, except you did. You stir up all the misinformation, all the lies, you create a hysteria, and people die, and then you say, well, no one would actually say they didn't get a vaccine because of Bobby Kennedy. They won't name check me. But you created the information environment and swamp that, of course, you profit off of, that allows these lies and hysteria to take hold. You, Mr. Kennedy, are responsible for the information swamp, this skepticism of vaccines, not single-handedly. There's many that are profiteering off of this. But now you want to lead the Department of Health and Human Services? I say, no siree. Folks, we're going to go back to the phones when we get back. Fred from Cottage Grove, I see you're going to be up next. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I also have what I can only consider to be the an actual schooling of RFK today by Senator Bennett. I want to take more of your comments, texts, and questions. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We'll be back in just a flash.
News from the center, WRCE.
Give the star in your life the brightest gift in the world. Name a star after them. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can name a star for birthdays, weddings, or even memorials. Over 45 years, we have named millions of stars for celebrities and individuals from around the world. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
Mark your calendars. The Pine River Sports Association Spring Gun Show is coming up on February 7th and 8th at the Richland Center Community Center. Join us Friday from 3 to 8 and Saturday 8 to 3 for this highly anticipated event featuring up to 70 tables of guns and related items. Enjoy concessions provided by the local Boy Scout troop while you browse. Admission is just $5. Kids 12 and under get in free with an adult. The Pine River Sports Association can't wait to see you February 7th and 8th at the PRSA Spring Gun Show. Don't miss it.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back. If you are rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're talking about the grifter, also known as Robert F. Kennedy Jr. His nomination hearings occurring today and will continue tomorrow. He's unfit by virtually any measure. I have three buckets. First bucket is he's morally unfit. Laundry list of things that just... No, you don't get this job. You don't get to be a screw-up for the vast majority of your life, do absolutely horrible things, respond without any sort of substance to meaningful allegations against you, and get to run, you know, public health in the United States. Not how it should work. Secondly, he peddles in dangerous lies to enrich himself and refuses to commit to even the most basic conflict of interest avoidance mechanisms, like not profiteering off of lawsuits against companies that he may be responsible for working with or potentially engaging enforcement actions against while you're DHHS secretary. Terrible. So let's go to the phones, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Fred from Cottage Grove, thank for your patience. Sir, you're up next.
Hi, thanks for taking the call. No, I'm tired of the softball questions. They get an answer, but they don't follow up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like his cousin just mentioned, too, today or the other day that he's vaccinated his kids.
Yep.
But yet now he wouldn't do it again. But well, he's already done it.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous, Fred. I completely take your point. I have a hard time watching Senate confirmation hearings because I'm screaming at the television. And I'm just going to say this. You notice how senators are really old. And I'm not an ageist. I think you can serve at absolutely any age. But some of them, it's clear if like the script that their staffers wrote in front of them, if it doesn't go exactly according to plan, they're not able to follow up. They're not able to counter the baloney and garbage that's getting thrown their way by some of these candidates. Now, some senators are quite good at it. Bernie Sanders, I think Elizabeth Warren followed up pretty well. And I think Senator Bennett did a capital job at this. Let's take a listen to this pointed questioning. I think more senators need to take a page out of Senator Bennett's book. Let's take a listen.
say that COVID-19 was a genetically engineered bioweapon that targets black and white people but spared Ashkenazi Jews and Chinese people?
I didn't say it was deliberately targeted. I just quoted an NIH-funded, an NIH-published study.
Did you say that it targets black and white people but spared Ashkenazi Jews?
I quoted a study, Your Honor. I quoted an NIH study that showed that.
I'll take that as a yes. I have to move on, Mr. I have to move on. Did you say that Lyme disease is is highly likely a materially engineered bioweapon? I made sure I put in the highly likely. Did you say Lyme disease is a highly likely militarily engineered bioweapon?
I probably did say that.
Did you say that?
And that's what the developer of Lyme disease
said. I want all of our colleagues to hear it, Mr. Kennedy. I want them to hear it. You said yes. Did you say that exposure to pesticides causes children to become transgender?
No, I never said that.
Okay, I have the record that I'll give to the chairman, and he can make his judgment about what you said. Did you write in your book, and it's undeniable, that African AIDS is an entirely different disease from Western AIDS? Yes or no, Mr. Kennedy?
I'm not sure if I made that.
Okay, I'll give it to the chairman, Mr. Kennedy. And my final question, did you say on a podcast, and I quote, "I wouldn't leave it, abortion, to the states. My belief is we should leave it to the woman. We shouldn't have the government involved, even if it's full term." Did you say that, Mr. Kennedy?
Senator, I believe that every abortion is a tragedy.
Did you say it, Mr. Kennedy?
This matters.
It doesn't matter what you come here and say that isn't true, that's not reflective of what you really believe, that you haven't said over decade after decade after decade, because unlike other jobs we're confirming around this place, this is a job where it is life and death.
Yeah. Senator Bernie Sanders also asked the nominee a number of questions about his flip-flop on his stance relating to abortion, which was apparently some sort of epiphany he stumbled over after Donald Trump trounced his ass in a few primaries, and he decided all of a sudden that maybe trying to angle for an appointment in the next Trump administration would be his best shot at what? More grift, more attention, and more power. For shame. He's a noted AIDS denialist. This is part of it, that there's these different strains of AIDS. The man has no shame. Has no shame. And he had the audacity today to literally lie repeatedly about the things that he said in the past and claims to now be pro-vaccine, to support the childhood vaccination schedule, though he has done everything in his power for the last decade plus to undermine that very vaccination schedule, to sow and create more doubt in the minds of Americans and people globally over vaccines that have saved hundreds of millions of lives. He is unfit by any measure to be the Secretary of the Department of Health and Human Services. And it's also kind of interesting. You know that guy, Rupert Murdoch, that owns Fox News? He also thinks that RFK is unfit to serve as the DHHS Secretary. I can't believe I'm going to say this, and please don't quote me out of context, but on that point, I agree with Rupert Murdoch. And with that, folks, we're going to turn a page because it is Wednesday. It is hump day. And on hump days at 3:30, I've got a great segment called Over the Hump and Trump, because we all need a break from the politics. We're going to take one of those breaks. We come back in our next segment with my very good friend and chef extraordinaire, Gregory Leone from Amelinda here in Milwaukee. He's been nominated for Most Outstanding Chef in the U.S. We're going to talk to Greg and about how food brings us together when we come back after these brief messages here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin.
Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
If your friend circle is anything like mine, then you must open up your Facebook and someone has posted about the price of eggs. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report. And here to explain why we're seeing elevated egg prices is our friend John Heinberg. John is a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He breaks it down for us. The highly pathogenic avian influenza virus, otherwise known as bird flu, is not friendly to poultry and egg production.
Raising eggs, raising poultry is not like a factory. We can just shut it off and turn it back on again. You know, there's that restock time to get those birds back into those barns, get them up to production level. So that's one of the biggest factors that's going into the price of eggs right now is just a continued loss of birds that happens because of the avian influenza outbreak. Again, understand when that disease is detected within a flock, the entire flock has to be liquidated and or moved on in that regard just to control the disease and prevent its spread from getting even further.
Wisconsin has had 3 bird flu cases in poultry flocks in December, but the highly pathogenic avian influenza virus can also infect other animals, such as dairy cows. Wisconsin has not had a case in cattle. We'll take a look at our closing commodity prices in just a minute.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
Join the Midwest Farm Report team along with Wisconsin soybean and corn growers at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Learn from industry experts on disease updates, cover crops, DOT standards, weather patterns, and more. Comedian Greg Warren will bring humor to the closing of the event. Connect with fellow farmers and share ideas among the breakout session, and don't miss the popular beer and bowl session. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
After a slow start today in the Class 3 milk market, contracts are rallying. February milk is up 44 cents at $20.39 a hundredweight. The March contract up 50 cents at $20.09. Barrel cheese closed up 2.5 cents at $1.86.5. The 40-pound block cheese closed up 2 cents at $1.89. Grain markets saw support today as well, with December new crop corn up 2.75 cents at $4.61 a bushel. November new crop soybeans closed up 4.25 cents at $10.47.5. That's what's happening in the markets on a Tuesday. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Just a little cooler today with a mix of sun and clouds and breezy winds still. As high temperatures reach 40 degrees, tonight they'll slide to the mid-20s. And for tomorrow, likely some record-breaking highs because we're going to soar to the mid-50s. We'll be soaking up the sunshine and feeling like spring. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 44 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Mr. Green Bay showbiz himself, Frank Hermans, who joins me in studio to discuss his new show. Then I talk movies and TV with the Wisconsin Film Festival's Ben Reiser.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
How come you're always such a fussy young man? Don't want no Captain Crunch, don't want no
Ah, yes, everybody. It is Wednesday. It is 3:30, and so it is time for Over the Hump and Trump. I kicked off the year sharing with you all some of my intentions, because I don't do resolutions. Those never get done, and then I feel shame and guilt about it, and that doesn't help anybody, least of which me. My intentions for the year: to move more, connect more, create more, play more, laugh more. There's one other one I'm forgetting about. It'll come to me in a second. But in the spirit of creating and connecting more, one of the things that I love that always helps me to do exactly that is to eat food, cook it, enjoy it, and share it with friends. And I love to eat the food that my next guest makes for all of his guests at his amazing restaurant, Amelinda. His name is Gregory Leone. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Greg. Thanks so much for making time.
Hi, Maggie. Thanks for the invitation.
It's so nice to have you back, and we get to celebrate your most recent and second nomination by the James Beard Foundation for the National Outstanding Chef Award, which is wonderful. Your second year in a row being nominated for Outstanding Chef nationwide after 2 years best of nominations for Best Chef Midwest. All fabulous, Greg. Congrats again.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
I hope it puts lots of butts in your chairs. Tell everybody what Amelinda's cuisine is like and how they can find your restaurant and make a reservation if they'd like to check out some of your amazing food.
Cool. So it does put a lot of butts in the chairs, so it makes me super happy. Also, real quick, before I tell anybody about us, I just want to throw this out there. When we get these nominations, it's not just a reflection of the work that I do, but it's a reflection of my entire team. So congrats to them, too, for working very hard. So we are a small, independent Spanish and Portuguese restaurant, we're inspired by Spain and Portugal. We're located at 315 East Wisconsin Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. We're open from 5 to 9, Wednesday through Saturday. And you can reach us by phone at 414-346-3469. I think I never called the restaurant. Or you can go to opentable.com and search for us. Or you can go to our website, amelinda.com.
And it is Amelinda. I was trying to email you, Greg, and put the wrong
spelling.
Yeah,
we sent it A-M-A.
Yes.
You're not the only one.
Very embarrassing. Chef Greg, one of the things that I think is really amazing about the cuisine that you do is that it does pull from a Spanish and Portuguese inspirational point, but there is very much this cultural intersection that I feel when I eat your food, that it's coming not just from a Spanish and Portuguese inspiration, but that you're pulling from all kinds of different places and all the foods that you have eaten. And it's interesting, whenever I'm in your restaurant, there are all kinds of different folks in your restaurant. It is a very welcoming place. I have always believed, I call it the Last Supper theory, whether or not you are a Christian and believe in Jesus Christ, here's the deal. When they told an epic story that has survived for centuries, what was the linchpin of the story? That on the last time that he knew he was going to be with his friends, he sat down, broke bread, ate and drank together. Greg, how is food a cultural and intersectional experience for you and the guests that come to your restaurant? Do you feel food bringing people together?
These are hard-hitting questions. I wasn't prepared for this one. Yes, I mean, food does bring people together. You know, a lot of it has to do with the person itself, with the culture they're coming from. There's religion involved. You know, I was extremely lucky that my mom's side of the family is Jewish and my dad's Latin from Venezuela. So those are two cultures that, you know, it's like you can't get three of us together and there not be food involved. So it's always been a thread through my life. Like, food's always been there. And it does bring people together. You know, when you celebrate a birthday, or you celebrate an anniversary, or you just want to catch up with a friend, what do you normally go do? You go to a restaurant, you go and eat. And we're glad that we can have a little space that people feel comfortable and love enough that they make it the center of their eating experience.
It's such a huge part of Wisconsin culture. I have never showed up at a friend's house empty-handed because that's how I was taught being from Wisconsin.
You show up empty-handed, you're rude.
Yeah, that's right. You got to bring both booze and food whenever you're visiting someone, not just one or the other. It's both got to check both boxes. And folks, if you're hearing a little background noise, that's because Greg is actually working. He is in his restaurant. I'm Melinda, while doing the interview, they're getting ready for dinner service. Greg, I wanted to ask you about a really special thing that you've got going on February 17th in your restaurant. It is your sixth year of celebrating what you call Tables Across Borders. I wanted to give you the chance, Greg, to tell people what that's all about.
Well, thank you. So Tables Across Borders is a program that started, I think it's like 2019. And my friend Kai Mishlop, who used to work with refugee agencies here in Milwaukee, contacted a mutual friend and she said, you know, I go to these people's houses to help them with stuff and there's always food and they're amazing cooks and I want Milwaukee to experience that. So do you think some chefs would want to work with me? So my friend Shay, he put us in contact. And so what it is we invite refugees, either ones that have just arrived or, you know, we've got a lady who's been here for years now. And they come to Alma Linda on the night that we're normally closed. They do all the cooking. They prepare the food of their heritage. And then we sell tickets to the event. And then 100% of the money raised goes to the person cooking. So if they just got here, then they've got a little bit of extra cash and helps them, like, buy stuff for their apartment or their new home, or, you know, whatever they might do with the money. So it's been a fantastic experience, you know, for us to see how people cook in other countries and how they use maybe the same ingredient that we use in different ways. It's been amazing. For the guests, they get to eat something that they probably would have never gotten to eat. You know, on the 17th, we're welcoming Tahani back, and she is from Syria. And her story is pretty incredible. She spent many years in a refugee camp. This is, I think, her fourth time coming back to Alma Linda because her food is just so good. Like, there's good Middle Eastern food in Milwaukee, but this stuff is insane. So, you know, we get to eat some cool food. We get to learn a little bit, and then we get to help somebody else.
And that's what it's all about. Again, these opportunities that we have to learn about each other through food, right, are really special. And Tables Across Borders, I think, is the literal embodiment of that. Where can people sign up if they want to participate in Tables Across Borders this year? And again, folks, that's on February 17th. It will be at Alma Linda in the 300 block of Wisconsin Avenue. How can they sign up and get involved?
So to sign up for the dinner, so first I would recommend everybody to go to amalinda.com and sign up for our newsletter. We're really responsible about our newsletters and we don't send them out all the time, only when we've got important stuff to share with our guests. So you can do that. Follow us on Instagram at amalindamke, or you can follow me at Chef Greg Leon. They can go to Open Table, go to the website, search for Alma Linda. And when our page comes up under the experience tab, you will see it listed. It's $75. That does not include tax or gratuity, but the food is well worth it. It is so good. And so there's going to be four this session. We're doing the first one. And as soon as things calm down a little bit, I'll get the other three up on the website.
So there's going to be three Tables Across Borders this year, folks. Four total, in addition to the one that's coming up on February 7th. No. Let's get it right.
Three plus one equals four.
Yes.
And two of them will be here at Alma Linda. The other two will be at Trickle Bee Cafe, because Trickle Bee Cafe has also been a participant, and they will cook over there also. But all of the tickets will be on sale on Alma Linda's Open Table page, even if the dinner is at another restaurant.
Fabulous. Thanks so much for that, Greg. Again, Tables Across Borders, the first dinner of 2025, kicking off on February 17th. Check out Alma Linda, AMILINDA, on Open Table if you would like to get involved. Greg, I wanted to ask you a question about folks when they're dining out. And I wanted to start with the challenge that I think people encounter sometimes. What happens if you order something and you don't like it? Like, you get adventurous, you try something new, and you don't care for it. What is the best course of action if somebody finds themselves in that position?
I am so glad you asked that question. Hopefully we can get this answer out to the masses. So whether you've gone to a restaurant and you ordered something and you just didn't like it because you were trying something new, or you just didn't like it because you didn't like the flavor profiles, or it wasn't prepared correctly. Always, always tell the people, the server will get the manager. Tell somebody why you are sitting in that chair. I, as a restaurant owner, my ultimate goal is for you to leave happy and to be like, okay, I spent $150 on dinner tonight, but it was well spent. And I want to come back and I like these people and the service is great and the food is great. But we're all human, and something that you might love, I might not like. So if you're having a bad time, just say something, because we ultimately are going to do whatever we can to make sure that when you walk out that door, at least if you're not leaving happy, at least you feel like you've been heard and you've tried. And it's so frustrating because, you know, we'll have people come in here and they'll try something and they didn't like it. But instead of saying something and letting us remake it or make them another dish, or I will take it off your bill. Like, the last thing I want is for you to pay for something you didn't like. They'll go online and then they'll leave a really crappy review. And, you know, what people need to understand is that review doesn't just affect me. It affects the people that work here. You know, you are messing with people's livelihood. So nobody's going to confront you. It's not going to be a fight at the table if you say something. We would rather you say something, because then we can try to make it better. But once you're out that door, it just looks like you want to complain.
Yeah, don't go online behind your keyboard. Let people make it right. I don't know any one of us that bats 1,000 in our jobs every day, right? And we all want the opportunity to try to fix it and make it right.
And it's funny that you should ask the question. We had somebody in here on Saturday.
Yeah.
Gentleman came in, showed up, was rude to the host because he wanted to sit at a counter. There was no spaces. He asked the host to work his magic. The host is not a magician, so he couldn't help him. So he finally sat down. He wanted the one entree that we had run out of, and it was like 8:15 by now. So we had run out of the steak. We sold like 30 of them that day. He wanted one. We're like, sorry, we're not. But we have everything else. He ordered a bunch of food. He ordered a bottle of wine. The only thing we charged him for was a bottle of wine. He drank half the bottle of wine, didn't touch any of the food, and left. Him and his companion. The next day, pops up a one-star review, and he's just like, you know, ripping into us. But nowhere does he say, hey, they didn't charge me for any of the food. Hey, they only charged me for the wine. You know, all these other things that we tried to do. And he left us a one star on food. So I did respond and I said, you can't really say anything about our food because you didn't eat any of it. So.
Well, I will just say this. I was in there with some dear, dear friends of mine this past week, Gregory, when I knew that you were coming on the air and I wanted to celebrate your amazing cuisine. I had something that I haven't had for years. I think since I was on the Iberian Peninsula, I had beef tongue. It was flipping great. I am a salad aficionado. I had your pear salad and the endive or endive, depending on who the heck you're talking to. And they both were fabulous. Thank you for an amazing, memorable meal. My three dinner companions, everyone was in the clean plate club. There wasn't a morsel left. Amazing service. Such a wonderful experience. So I'm going to leave you with this last question before we finish up today, Greg.
Sure.
When you have an amazing experience at a restaurant, what should someone do? Is it about the big tips? Do you tell someone? Do you need to go do the reviews? What should we be doing? Should we buy a round for the kitchen staff? What do we do?
Well, no, I mean, it depends on the restaurant, obviously. You don't have to buy us a round. I'm not a big drinker. We're more of the green family at this restaurant, if you understand.
Yes.
You know, a nice tip is always appreciated. The servers, you know, we'll always love that. And then online, if you have a really good experience, go online and just say something. Say, hey, this was great. Those are the two things. But you know what? The biggest thing you can do is come back and see us.
I can't wait to come back and see you and everyone at Amo Linda. It was an amazing experience for me and all of my friends. And I think I'm going to talk them all into arranging their schedules so we can be there for Tables Across Borders.
Yay.
What an important event coming up on February 17th. My congratulations to you, Greg, and every single person that touches the food and helps make the experience what it is at Amo Linda. You can check out Greg's restaurant. Just go to Open Table, search for Amo Linda. That's AMILINDA. Make a rezo. Check out the amazing Portuguese and Spanish inspired cuisine there. My best to you and everyone, Greg.
Thank you so much.
Take care, friend. When we come back, folks, I'm going to give you a little one to grow on and some words of inspiration from Tim Kaine. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Have a big dinner. A light snack. If you don't like it, you can't send it back. Just eat it. Eat it. Get yourself an egg and be-
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. American voters identifying as independent are the largest group of voters at 43%, according to recent Gallup polling. Depending on what kind of primary election your state parties have, millions of unaffiliated voters may not be able to vote. A bill in the U.S. House called the Let America Vote Act would change that. The National Conference of State Legislatures counts 10 states with closed primaries, allowing only party members to vote, and another 9 with partially closed primaries. 22 states have primaries open to unaffiliated voters. The bipartisan bill introduced January 3rd includes the right for any voter to vote in any taxpayer-funded election, and for unaffiliated voters to vote in any primary for federal office. It would withhold election assistance funding for states not allowing unaffiliated voters to vote in state and local elections and help to fund transitions to open primary systems. It prohibits any non-citizen from voting in federal elections, but also withholds election funding from states if non-citizens are allowed to vote in state or local elections, currently allowed in only 16 municipalities in the U.S. Primaries are often low turnout elections, which often bring out party activists, resulting in more extreme candidates. Allowing independent voters could pressure candidates to campaign to the middle and moderate more extreme positions. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Where should you go for dinner? I mean, obviously, go to Amalinda. My big thanks to my last guest, Greg Leone, executive chef and owner of a very small independent restaurant in downtown Milwaukee called Amalinda. Greg, nominated for National Outstanding Chef by the James Beard Foundation, his second year in a row for that nomination. I used that opportunity or his nomination for the catalyst to talk with Greg today for our installment of Over the Hump and Trump, because I do think food is one of those great connecting moments that can help bring us all together. And we need more of that, not less. It also comes in the great Wisconsin tradition of do not ever, no, not ever, show up to a friend's joint empty-handed. I know I never do. I wanted to end today's show with some sound from Tim Kaine. He was on the floor yesterday addressing Donald Trump's, enticement, bribe, maybe, if you want to, that he laid out for federal workers, which basically was like, resign and I'll pay you for the next 8 months and you don't have to work, which I would never rely on personally. And Tim Kaine took it up pretty directly. I thought we should take a listen. And then I'm going to give you my one to grow on and hopefully a word of hope and inspiration to leave us this afternoon. Let's take a listen to Senator Tim Kaine.
And they received an email that said, from the administration, if you tender your resignation by next Friday, we will guarantee you payment through the end of September, whether or not you show up for work. So tender your resignation, and then, boy, it's just going to be a gravy train. You're just going to get paid for 7 months without working. The president has no authority to make that offer. There's no budget line item to pay people who are not showing up for work. This is a guy who made this promise to contractors again and again and again when he was a private business guy, oh, come work for me on my casino. Come work for me in a hotel. We're going to do a handshake. We're going to do a contract. The contractor does the work and then finds out they get stiffed. So my message to federal employees who receive this is, yeah, the president has tried to terrorize you for about a week and then gives you a little sweetheart offer. If you resign in the next week, we're just going to pay you for doing nothing for the next 7 months. Don't be fooled. He's tricked hundreds of people with that offer. If you accept that offer and resign, he'll stiff you just like he stiffed the contractors. He doesn't have any authority to do this. Do not be fooled by this guy. You were here before he was here, and you'll be here after he was here. Show up for work, be diligent, serve Americans every day, make their life better, answer their phone call, give them an answer, track down their constituent call. Don't be fooled by a fake offer that because he's terrorized you in the last week, it would be easy to just resign now and get a check for 7 months, because I can tell you that promise is worth nothing.
Folks, that was Tim Kaine addressing Donald Trump's offer. I guess we can call it an offer that he has no power, authority, or budgetary appropriation to, you know, pay federal workers who resign for 8 months for doing nothing. This is not a thing. But where Tim Kaine got by the end of his, I don't know, appeal to federal employees is where I want to leave us all today. If you've been listening to the show for some time, you know that I served a federal appeals court judge as his elbow clerk, a two-time Reagan-appointed Article III judge. I was an assistant city attorney for the city of Milwaukee for many years. I then helped run the city of Milwaukee's 401k plan. It's a 453B or a 457 plan when you're in the public sector, but most people know it as a 401k plan. I then spent nearly 8 years as Milwaukee County's chief legal officer. So I've spent a long time in public service. So there's two things I want to leave everybody with this afternoon. And the first is a plea to all of my fellow public servants, those of you who show up every day in good faith, who take the oaths, if you took one, very seriously to serve the American people, who do their jobs without letting their personal political beliefs get in the way of doing their jobs, who truly are public servants, those who serve you and me and every resident and citizen of the jurisdiction that they work for. And I want to start by saying to you, please keep going. There are far more of you than there are of people willing to sell their good name, their professionalism, and their honor to the highest bidder, or the bidder who may never pay, simply for more attention or power. Please keep going. And to all of you listening who may have served the public sector in any form and who continue to do so today, I want to say thank you. Your service is appreciated, and it is more necessary now than ever. Last, I want to say to all of us, please have faith. The good public servants at every level of government, I promise you, will continue to do their good work as they have for many years. And while we can always do better to be more efficient and more effective, to improve our programs and processes, the people, the human beings, your neighbors and friends and family members who work in these jobs will do it best. So take heart, Wisconsin and America. The good public servants, they're at the job.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as things get cheesy for what's worse, blue cheese or American cheese. The controversy continues. You weigh in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news,
you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz, and the White House walking back the executive order to pause federal funding.
The White House says President Trump's executive orders calling for an end to federal spending that does not align with his policy priorities still stand. But a new memo from the White House budget director rescinds a sweeping directive that would freeze potentially trillions of dollars in federal assistance, loans, and grants. What's unclear is how the president will carry out those executive orders and whether any federal funding would be paused while the administration conducts a review of programs. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
A federal judge sentenced former Senator Robert Menendez to 11 years in prison today for his bribery conviction for acting as a foreign agent to aid Egypt while serving as chair of the Foreign Relations Committee. Menendez vowed to appeal. In California, the trial of ASAP Rocky continues. The rapper is charged with two felony counts of firing a handgun at former friend ASAP Relly in 2021. Relly testified today. This is ABC News.